Welcome to D&B College. In this lesson, we're building a dark side Ableton Live 12 breakdown with an automation-first workflow. The goal is not to make a pretty ambient reset. We're making a functional tension section, something that clears the floor, teases the next drop, and makes the return of the drums and bass feel huge. In dark D&B, that breakdown usually lives between the first drop and the second drop, or as a pre-drop moment after an 8, 16, or 32 bar phrase. And the key idea is this. The breakdown should still move, even while it's taking energy away. So the first thing we do is choose a source that already has attitude. Don't start with something polished and obvious. Go for a chopped vocal stab, a reversed synth hit, a dark pad fragment, a gritty field recording with tone in it, or a small slice from a break that still has some musical character. Keep it short. One bar or two bars is usually enough. If the sample is rhythmic, line it up just enough to keep the pulse. If it's textural, let it drift a little. That slight instability can be perfect for dark side tension. What to listen for here? Does the sample already suggest mood without needing a lot of processing? And does it leave enough room for the drums and bass that will come later? If the sample is too bright or too busy, that's not automatically a problem, but it needs enough character to justify the automation you're about to put on it. Now here's the core mindset shift. Automate first, layer second. A lot of producers build up a breakdown by stacking sounds, and then they try to shape the energy afterward. For dark D&B, that often gets messy fast. Instead, build the first movement with automation before you add more elements. On the sample track, start shaping the cutoff of an auto filter. Open it a little at the start, then gradually close it across 8 bars. A good starting range is somewhere around 1.5 kHz down to 250 or 500 hz. Depending on the source. Keep resonance moderate. You want tension, not a whistle. At the same time, automate the level slightly. That doesn't mean just turning it down the whole time. Think about a subtle dip in the middle, then a bit of recovery near the transition. That helps the section breathe. Then bring in reverb automation. Start fairly dry, maybe around 10 to 15% wet, and let it bloom toward the last two bars. You can also use utility or track gain for small moves, just 1 to 3 dB, to make the phrase feel like it's leaning forward and then pulling back. Why this works in D&B is simple. The genre is built on contrast, and contrast is what makes the drop hit. A dark breakdown isn't just quieter. It becomes more filtered, more spacious, and less committed rhythmically as it approaches the drop. That rising emptiness is part of the drama. It's not dead space. It's pressure. A useful creative choice here is whether you want the motion to feel cinematic or more functional. A slowly closing filter with rising reverb feels foggy, ominous, and wide. Stepped filter movement with drier, more abrupt changes feels tighter and more DJ functional. Both work. Pick the one that matches the track. Next, add a break fragment underneath the sample. Keep it small. One or two hits, a ghost snare, or a chopped kick snare tail is enough. You're not trying to bring the full drum loop back. You're just implying motion. That gives the breakdown a pulse without stealing focus from the atmosphere. Shape that break fragment with stock tools. High pass it with EQ 8 around 120 to 200 hz so it stays out of the way of the future low end. A little drum bus can help it feel more present, but keep the drive subtle, maybe in the 5 to 15% range. If the break has too much stereo spread, tighten it with utility so the groove stays centered and stable. What to listen for? Does that break fragment create forward motion even though the main kick is missing? And does it still leave enough room for the sample and automation to breathe? If the break starts sounding like a full drum loop, it's too much. In this kind of breakdown, the break should imply pressure, not replace the drop early. Now add a bass shadow, not a full bass line. That's a huge distinction. You do not want to give away the full low-end energy. You want something that feels like a threat under the floorboards. A simple sustained tone from operator or wave eatable works well. You can give it a little grit with saturator, move it gently with auto filter, and clean it up with EQ8. Keep the sub stable, often somewhere around 40 to 60 hz depending on the key. Add only a small amount of saturation, maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive if you want harmonics. Low pass the tone so it mostly lives below 300 to 500 hz, unless the arrangement needs a little more audible texture. If you go with a restyle layer, be careful with width. The low end should stay controlled and mostly mono-compatible. This is where intermediate producers often slip. They make the shadow bass exciting in solo, but in context it becomes too active. A breakdown bass should support tension, not start competing with the drop bass. If it feels like it's trying to be the main event, simplify it. A nice approach is to automate just a narrow range. Let the cutoff move a little. Let saturation rise slightly near the turn. Keep pitch drift subtle. Small motion reads as menace in this style. Big motion can kill the restraint that makes the section work. Now start thinking in phrases. Don't let the breakdown behave like a static loop. Build it with call and response. If you're working in 8 bars, bars 1 and 2 can establish the sample motif. Bars 3 and 4 can bring in the shadow bass and a bit more space. Bars 5 and 6 can strip some mids and introduce a reverse texture or noise swell, and bars 7 and 8 can pull everything back and set up the drop with a little negative space. If you're working in 16 bars, use the first 4 bars to establish the identity, the next 4 to deepen it, then start removing information in the second half. What to listen for here? By bar 8 or bar 16, does the section feel more tense than it did at the start? If not, you probably need more phrase contrast. Maybe a new layer appears later, or maybe one layer disappears at the right moment. Often the strongest move is subtraction, not addition. And remember, automate texture, not just volume. That's where the dark side character really comes alive. Reverb decay can open up from short and dry to longer and more haunted. Delay feedback can rise only at phrase ends. Saturation or overdrive can creep up at the edges of sections. Utility width can widen the top layers while the low end stays tight. You can even use tiny amounts of track delay on a texture layer if you want that ghosted push-pull feel. A useful chain for texture bus could be auto filter, echo, reverb, utility, and EQ8. Keep the echo feedback modest, maybe around 15-30%, and push it a little at the end of the phrase. Reverb decay can live anywhere from 2 to 6 seconds depending on how dense the arrangement is. And if the atmosphere starts to smear over the groove, pull back the wet level first before you start hacking away at the source sound. A good question to ask yourself is this: does the tail extend the mood without washing out the movement? If the answer is no, the breakdown is probably getting too foggy. Dark doesn't mean blurred. It means controlled. Now comes the important check. Put the breakdown in context with the drop. Don't judge it in solo. Solo can lie to you, especially with reverb, stereo width, and filtered bass shadows. Listen to the breakdown directly before the main drums and bass come back. Mute and unmute the drop kick, the sub, and the main bass movement. You're checking one thing above all else. Does the breakdown make the drop feel bigger without creating a frequency hangover? If the low end feels muddy after the breakdown, look for lingering sub notes. Reverb tails sitting under 200 Hz, break tails overlapping the drop, or stereo bass content leaking into the fundamental. And this is the big mix lesson for Dark DNB. The breakdown can be wider and moodier than the drop, but the sub range still has to be clean. Keep the low-end mono aware. Use utility on low layers. Keep the stereo treatment for the residue, the reverbs, the noise, and the top-end harmonics. Now let's talk about one of the most powerful dark side moves, negative space. Right before the drop, create a brief pocket of emptiness. It can be half a bar, one beat, or even a clip tail depending on the tempo and phrasing. Automate the sample down. Cut the reverb send sharply. Mute the break fragment for a beat. Leave only a filtered noise tail or a subswell if needed. That moment of absence is often more brutal than another riser. In DNB, a tiny void before impact can make the drop land with real physical weight. Don't be afraid of silence. Use it like a weapon. If the section is already working, this is also the point where you can commit the core texture to auto. Printing it gives you speed and flexibility. You can reverse the ending, chop a tail, or resample a weird bloom that happened by accident. And honestly, those accidents are often the best part of a dark breakdown. Once you print the chain, you're working with material instead of just knobs. A strong workflow is to record the motif or atmosphere after auto filter, saturator, and reverb. Then reverse or slice the printed audio and place that before the drop. That resampled tail can become the transition glue. It often sounds more interesting than the live effect, because the decay becomes part of the sample itself. Now do the final phrase check from the start of the breakdown to the first bar of the drop. Confirm that the filter movement makes sense. Make sure the reverb and delay tails end before the drop unless you intentionally want them to act as a lead-in. Check that the bass shadow isn't occupying the same space as the drop bass. And make sure the breakdown has enough contrast that the drop feels like a reward, not just a continuation. If you need one quick polish move, reduce a little midrange in the last bar with EQ8, add a small noise lift or impact in the final one or two beats, and keep the ending simple, so the ear can land cleanly on the drop. A few common mistakes to watch out for. First, don't make the breakdown too full spectrum. If bass, mids, and highs all stay active, the drop loses contrast. Second, don't automate only volume. That just makes things quieter, not more tense. Third, keep reverb tails out of the sub-region. If the low end clouds up, the next drop loses punch. Fourth, don't make the shadow bass too stereo heavy. The club low end needs stability. And fifth, always check the section against the drop in context. That's the real test. Here's the bigger creative principle. A great dark side breakdown is not just a mood piece. It's a pressure chamber. Stable enough to hold attention, unstable enough to create anticipation, and clean enough that the next return feels physically bigger. If you want even more impact, keep one element carrying the narrative. Let the sample, the break fragment, or the drone be the main character. Everything else should support that story, not compete with it.